getting rid of the colorblindness mentality is the first step to doing that, because you just can't love away racism.
Yeah, you can't.
It's impossible. It's a great theory. I would love if it worked, but it doesn't.
Hey guys, it's Kat, and we're here today to talk about transracial adoption with Rebecca of onlyblackgirl.com.
Hello.
So, can you define for the audience like what transracial actually is, like what that means?
Yeah, absolutely. So basically it just means somebody of one race that is adopted into a family of another race. Most commonly, that would be people of color adopted by white people into families.
Okay. Yeah. And so that was your experience?
Yes, that is my experience. I am one of three transracial adoptees in my family. I was the first to be adopted.
Oh, wow.
So in my family, there's six kids, three are biological, three are adopted.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And are all of your siblings, are they all black or are they of different
They're
races?
All black. We're not related.
Okay.
Because people do think that we're all black, so we're related. We're not.
So you must have the same parents.
Yeah. So my family, my biological family is from Houston. And then I have a brother. His family's from Oregon. Then my sister's from Ethiopia.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So we're kind of from all over the place.
So one of the things that I saw a lot in conversations around Rachel Dolezal co-opting the term transracial is that transracial adoptees have been fighting really, really hard to be recognized. I'm curious what exactly that means and why her reclaiming that term was so hurtful to so many people who were transracial adoptees.
Yeah, that whole debacle was very frustrating for me personally, and I'm sure for other transracial adoptees. But just because even before that, we were still basically erased. Like, we're never brought up in topics that have to do with racism. We're kind of always people who are left out. So we were already fighting to be seen and have their voices heard. Everything that's centered around adoption is always centered around the parents. Nobody ever listens to us. So we were already fighting that war. And then this came out, and then that whole term transracial just got like completely blown out of proportion and co-opted. So now you can't even say the word transracial without thinking about Rachel Dolezal, right? When that was our term to begin with. So we're just fighting a whole nother layer on top of that. So it feels like we have to knock down two walls just to get to the basics so we can even open up the conversation about our experiences at all.
What was it like being adopted and being part of a family that didn't look like you? Did you have like a lot of people questioning, you know, you when you were younger about, you know, what the situation was? Like, how was that?
It was definitely very confusing for me as a child. I definitely remember very early on kind of catching on, just because if you're the only person with brown skin surrounded by white people, it doesn't take very long to figure it out. So it was definitely, I kind of caught on to it very quickly, but my parents were very good about just, you know, giving me the whole adoption spiel. And they were very open about, you know, whenever you're ready, we can talk about, you know, finding your biological family and all that stuff. But they weren't very good about talking about like the race, all the race stuff.
See, that's what I was gonna ask, because like, see, I'm adopted, but my parents are black, and my parents, really early on, like they had like the conversation with me about, you know, how to interact with cops and, you know, how you're going to be seen as like a person of color. And so I'm curious how that went with you, or if it didn't at all. Like, how did your parents?
It really didn't. Not even till this day. I think my mom's a little bit better, just because I've been more vocal about it. So we've had more conversations, but it never really happened. I think a lot of it, even with most white adoptive parents, it doesn't even cross their mind.
Wow.
Yeah, it doesn't even cross their mind that there's like a difference, because their whole thing is, you know, we'll just love them all, which, you know, is great in theory, but in reality, there's a lot more complication that goes into that and a lot more resources that we need as people of color growing up. So for me, it was kind of like going on this journey by myself, because not only was I in a white family, but I also grew up in Olympia, Washington, which is like the whitest of white.
And so growing up in like a mostly white neighborhood, being part of a family that didn't really have a conversation with you about racism, was there like a time where you experienced racism and then went to your parents and they didn't really know how to?
I don't know that I necessarily experienced, because Olympia is kind of one of those places where they think they're progressive. So there's not really a lot of like outward racism that I experienced a lot later in life. But it was a lot of things like, oh, can I touch your hair? And then all of a sudden I would have like 8 white women just like petting my hair. And I was like, what is going on?
Oh, wow.
And it would be, you know, this little microaggressions basically that kind of freaked me out. And it was just always like that because we were always the family with black kids. So everybody knew us. And my family has been in Olympia forever. So everybody kind of knows the Hudson name and they kind of know that we're the white, they're the white family with black kids. So it was kind of like just being tokenized your whole life. Cause everyone's like, oh, it's the little black kid. I do remember one particular memory that stood out to me was my mom used to always go to Goodwill. She still does. but when we were in Goodwill, there was an older white woman who was passing by and she said, she looked at me and I was still pretty young. It must've been maybe 7, 8-ish. And she just looked at me and she said, oh, it's been a long time since I've seen one of those before.
Ooh, not one of
those. And I was like, I didn't have like the, I didn't register that it was racism, but I just kind of, I knew something was wrong about it. It was off about it, it made me feel very uncomfortable. And I was just like, what, one of those?
Wow. Like, yeah, that's
while she's looking at me and I was just like, what? And yeah, that was one of the first, I would say kind of more outwardly racist things. And that made me kind of like, snap and be like, okay, something is not, you know, there's something missing here because why am I being treated like this, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I remember that was the time that I think I did speak to my mom about it and it was just kind of one of those, oh, she probably didn't mean it that way, those kind of things. Mm. That's how we always get brushed off of, oh, she didn't mean it like that or she's old, you know, from a different time.
She doesn't know any better.
Yeah, it was always those kind of excuses and then it's, you know, it was always just kind of swept under the rug.
Wow. So like, how did you go from, like, what was your, like, how did you get to a point where now you're, you know, advocating for black people and, you know, really talking a lot about anti-blackness? Because I know that for a lot of people in those situations, it's easier to just sort of make, like you said, the excuses for people like, oh, they just don't know any better. Oh, not everyone's that way. So like, how did you get, like, what was your story of like, I guess, I hate this term, but becoming hashtag woke, you know?
Yeah. for me, it was honestly college. It was college because I felt like college I was able to kind of explore more. And I was also the first time that I was around people who were also people of color.
Oh, wow.
Really. Yeah. I mean, we had finally like kind of moved into the city. So I was around more people. And we started going to a church that had more people of color in there. So I was starting to be around more people of color, but even when I was with black people, it was always like, you're a white girl, you're white on the inside, that kind of thing. But those kind of experiences kind of pushed me into diving more into learning about black culture. So I would read a lot and just kind of getting more into black culture. Then when I got to college, I went to community college first. And at my community college, they had like a diversity center. And so when I got involved there, that just kind of opened the door. And when I actually learned, oh, like racism is a real thing. I'm not the only person dealing with this. I'm not the only person who gets asked weird questions in class or people look at me weird. So it was kind of like the first time I ever felt validated for all the things that I was experiencing. I was like, oh, okay, this is not just me. And then it just kind of progressed from there. I started, you know, really just educating myself a lot more. And I got more confident about speaking out about my experiences. And it just kind of went from there.
So yeah. I imagine that like, is our family, like being where you are now, is going back like from Thanksgiving and things, is that rough? Because you're probably talking a lot about stuff that maybe they're not as eager to speak about because their view of like, because I'm imagining their view of racism was we are the world, it's, you know, it's, no, there's no.
Yeah, I think for most of my family, especially since I've been speaking out a lot more, they've kind of hopped on board. I mean, they're still very ignorant about a lot of stuff. But I think they're a lot more opening to at least listening.
Good.
Yeah, there are a few people, like my dad didn't really receive it well and he just kind of like, I'm not one of those white people. And he was just kind of like checked out. And I'm like, look, that's okay. But I'm still going to be over here talking about what I'm talking about. But people like my mom, she's a lot more open to like actually having conversations. So we do actually have a lot of conversations about, you know, what she did wrong, what she can do now. A lot of other family members do have adopted kids too. But they just don't talk about it at all. So even like today, they're like, oh, okay, well, I messed up when you were a kid. What do you want me to do about it now?
Yeah.
It's just like, well, don't check out like that. Like, we're still here.
Yeah.
Just because we're not kids anymore, you know? So my mom and I do have a lot more conversations about that. And even with my siblings, we do. I think it's just a lot more It's not as much as like walking on eggshells anymore.
Good.
And they know that I'm gonna say something regardless. So mm-hmm. whether you're comfortable or not, I'm still gonna say something.
You're that person.
I am. I'm kind of the person everybody tiptoes on. Like, oh, we can't make any jokes. Rebecca's here. I'm like, well, you can't because I'm gonna call you out.
I mean, and I'm glad you do, honestly. I always feel like Thanksgiving, those meetings, it's the best time to call people out.
It really is.
We've got everyone together, you know, bring them to the table. And just, let's talk about it. Do you wish the times that you were raised by Black people, or?
I mean, I can't really speak to wishing being raised by Black people just because I wasn't.
Yeah.
So I have no idea how that difference would be, I would imagine. Because I've even talked to adoptees who were raised in families of the same race, and they still have a lot of issues because there's just a lot of issues that come with being adopted, period.
Period.
Yeah. So they're just an extra layer when it's a white family and you have to deal with racism. Mm-hmm. But as far as adoption into same race families, that would be great. But the problem is there's a very overwhelming statistic of just more white people who are adopting.
Yeah.
Which makes sense because adopting is not free. It's very expensive. Yeah. It's a lot of intensive, you know, stuff that goes into it. So I understand that. So I feel like instead of limiting who can adopt who, we just have better education and provide more resources for the white people going into it, and frankly just have better screenings of families, because there's a lot of families who are adopting out of ill will, and we get caught up in these very terrible abusive families, and that shouldn't be happening just because people just want to get people placed in homes.
Yeah.
You know, there should just be an overall better structure for the adoption industry.
What would you say to parents who are adopting children of color? Because you described that you weren't raised with an awareness of racism. Like, what are some things that people who are adopting Black children are really children of color or children who are outside of their race? What are some things that they can do in order to make them sort of have a better relationship? Because I can only imagine that when you grow up and you experience racism, you sort of might end up in a situation where now you're resenting your family for not having a conversation with you about this.
It happens a lot. I've even seen that in my own family. My number one suggestion or advice that I would give is to just immediately get rid of the colorblind mentality, because I think that's like the number one thing that holds back white adoptive parents. Because when most agencies that do like adoption stuff, there's just no education for like transracial adoption or like how to prepare for it. And so a lot of parents just go into this, well, we'll just love them all and that'll be great. I mean, yes, you should love all your kids, but there's an extra layer on that because we are people of color. Mm-hmm. Regardless of how much you love us, we still live in a world that hates us. So in order for you to be a good parent, you need to be able to give your children the resources that they need to survive in this world as people of color. Mm-hmm. And as a white person, you're not gonna understand all those experiences because you've never had to deal with them. So that means that you're really gonna have to apply yourself and do the research and do the education. I talk on my blog a lot about how white adoptive parents need to be both a parent and an ally. You have to do them both together, and getting rid of the colorblindness mentality is the first step to doing that, because you just can't love away racism.
Yeah, you can't.
It's impossible. It's a great theory. I would love if it worked, but it doesn't.
It just does not work. What would you say would be like a good starting point for someone who is currently adopted a child of color to start in sort of being better and maybe avoiding some of the things that you've experienced?
Well, like I said, Google is always free.
Sure is.
I mean, I personally have a blog, and I also know that there are a lot of other adoptees that have blogs and are making content. So those are great places to start. And also just general education about racism and whatever other issues that you're dealing with or that your child may deal with that's specific, like whether you have special needs kids or whatever it is, you just need to be able to do the work yourself and educate yourself, and maybe even make it like a family thing, you know?
Yeah.
Like bring the whole family into it, and so everybody is on the same page, everybody knows the steps to take and what everybody needs to do to get, you know, educated about racism, and this is what you do when the police show up or yada yada, all those kind of things, you know? Mm-hmm. Just gotta really just take charge and do it yourself. Books, movies, like there's so many things.
Ooh, what's a good book, do you think? Like what's a good start book?
One of my favorite books is, The People's History of the United... Is it People's History of the United States, I believe it's called?
Okay.
Yeah. And I really like that book just because it gives a more It gives a history of America from people of color, their perspective, basically. So when I read it, I read it in a college class, a multicultural America college class, and it was like the first time that I ever like read American history, but from the view of people of color. And I was like, whoa, this is like completely different than what they taught us in school, you know, from the white people's version of it. Mm-hmm. So just stuff like that, that just offers another perspective that you can be like, oh, well, maybe I don't know everything because I'm only seeing through from my eyes. So looking at stuff from our eyes or other people's perspectives would kind of help you navigate, you know? Yeah.
All right, so thank you so much for coming and speaking to me about this. This was really illuminating, and that gave me a lot to think about, and I'm sure my audience a lot to think about. Where can people find you if they wanted to get more information about transracial adoptees, anti-blackness, all the stuff that you write about?
Yeah, well, my website is onlyblackgirl.com, and then it's onlyblackgirl pretty much on everything, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, so you can find me in all those places.
All right, I hope you guys enjoyed that conversation. If you'd like to continue to learn, share, and grow, please subscribe to this channel to get more content just like this. I'll see you guys next week.